This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. Talk about your bad timing up and down the Northeast right now. Utility crews are racing the clock to turn the lights back on for the tens of thousands still in the dark after Friday's damaging nor'easter. Because the next round is coming. A major snowstorm this time expected to barrel through the same region beginning early Wednesday, potentially dumping heavy snow from Philadelphia to Portland, Maine. And tonight, airlines are once again warning customers of disruptions that could impact travel across the country. We'll get the latest forecast in a moment, but first, Kristen Dahlgren on damaged communities bracing for more.
The race is on in Massachusetts to stop water pouring into the coastal community of Duxbury after a break in the seawall this afternoon.
It's a barrier beach, and we lose the seawall, then you start losing ground, and you start losing houses.
Down the coast in Sandwich, this house teetering over the ocean. After the bruising nor'easter damaged towns up and down the East Coast, trees are still falling.
We have another storm on the way, and we still haven't been able to restore the power for the residents we have now. So our concerns are we want to try to get their power back as soon as possible, definitely before the next storm hits.
New York battling the clock as well. Crews desperately trying to get lights and heat back on.
All of this is ruined.
Stefan Beyer has been without power for 3 days.
We have 2 small kids. We've been trying to figure out what to do. So we found refuge with friends, luckily. But it's just too cold to stay home.
We may have to stay another night in the hotel.
Across the street, Steve Pantaleo is in the same boat.
It's 46 degrees and dropping.
Could you stay in here?
No.
Almost 200,000 customers from Virginia to Massachusetts are still in the dark. And as so many struggle to recover, that other storm is looming. Snow in the Midwest today forecast to move east to a region that tonight seems far from ready for another blow.
With so many scenes like this still to deal with, power companies are now worried that the heavy, wet snow that's forecast to fall later this week could bring down more trees and more power lines. So many of those crews that have been here to help out from as far away as Texas, they are now staying for what could be round two, Lester.
All right, Kristen, thanks. We've been saying heavy snow for the latest now in this new storm threat. Let's turn to NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer, who's tracking it and can break it down for us.
Well, Lester, we already have 44 million people at risk under this winter storm watch across the Northeast. The storm right now is still back in the northern plains where we've been seeing blizzard conditions. It'll move through the Midwest on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday it develops into this powerful nor'easter. Now, there are some major differences between this storm and the storm we had last week. First thing is that it's much faster moving, so we're not going to look at as much of a threat of coastal flooding like we saw with Friday's storm. It's also going to produce, instead of winds up to 70 to 90 miles per hour, winds closer to about 30 to 50 miles per hour. However, we are going to see much more snow out of this storm. We're looking at a widespread, at least 8 inches of snow across the Northeast. If the storm tracks a little farther to the west, we could see lesser amounts in the major cities. But if it tracks a little farther to the east, which is a possibility, we could see higher amounts from Boston to New York, right down into Philadelphia.
It'll be a busy week. All right, Dylan,
is.
Thanks very much. For an eighth day, there was no school for nearly 300,000 public school students as a massive statewide teacher strike in West Virginia stretched into a second week. And after a deal to end it fell apart, it looks like there's no end in sight. Tonight, NBC's Ron Allen is there with the latest.
It looked like most of West Virginia's 20,000 striking teachers converged on the Capitol. Day eight, so many protesters, the fire marshal wouldn't let more in. Teachers tired of being 48th of the nation in pay.
We are professionals and we're not being treated professionally.
I believe that everyone needs to stand up for what's right.
They thought they had a deal last Tuesday, a 5% pay raise, about $2,000. The governor and half the legislature agreed. But then, blocked by senators who claim the state only can afford 4%.
You are the villain in all this now.
Yeah.
How do you solve this?
Well, it's difficult to be labeled a villain when there's the largest pay raise in 28 years. We want to provide everything we can, but there is just simply limits to money.
Some 270,000 students hurt in a state where more than two-thirds qualify for subsidized or free breakfast and lunch at school. Community centers opening their doors, striking teachers now delivering school lunches.
They get better food at school than sometimes at home.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, yes.
There's that much need here.
There's sometimes
Correct.
Not food at home.
Cece Crouch, with six kids in school, very grateful.
Oh, it's very important we pick up food here, you know.
At the Capitol, little sign of progress.
The governor today.
We got to get the kids back in school. It's absolutely crazy for our kids to be out of school, and everybody's working hard on it. We're going to get it done.
But with all sides dug in for now, the strike goes on.
And this evening here at the Capitol, lawmakers are meeting behind closed doors, debating exactly how much the state can afford to pay its teachers. Schools will be closed for yet another day tomorrow. Lester?
Ron Allen in Charleston, thank you. There is a fascinating new twist in the Russia investigation tonight, and it comes from a man who worked on President Trump's campaign. He is refusing to comply with a subpoena from Special Counsel Robert Mueller and speaking out about the investigation. Let's get more now from White House correspondent Kristen Welker.
Tonight, defiant and digging in, Sam Nunberg, a former Trump campaign aide turned Trump antagonist, dropping this bombshell, becoming the first former advisor to publicly suggest candidate Trump may have done something wrong. Nunberg spoke with Katie Turr live on MSNBC.
Do you think that they have something on the president?
I think they may.
What?
I think that he may have done something during the election, but I don't know that for
Why
sure.
Why do you think that?
I can't explain it unless you were in there.
But in the same interview, at times, siding with the president.
I mean, Mr. Trump's right. The president's right. It's a witch hunt. And I'm not going to cooperate.
The White House firing back, noting Nunberg only served on the campaign in the early days.
Your reaction? Well, I definitely think he doesn't know that for sure because he's incorrect. As we've said many times before, there was no collusion with the Trump campaign.
Nunberg was fired from the campaign in 2015 after racist social media posts. The president later sued Nunberg for violating a confidentiality agreement. Despite that, he says he won't comply with a subpoena by Special Counsel Robert Mueller to appear before a grand jury.
It was ridiculous to me. The subpoena is absolutely ridiculous.
So is Nunberg prepared to go to jail over the issue?
Should have higher legal bills?
Really, really funny if they wanted to arrest me because I don't want to spend 80 hours going over emails.
It's the latest development in the intensifying Russia probe. Nunberg is among those who was subpoenaed for emails, texts, and other documents related to the campaign.
This is a little bit of bravado. It's a little bit of drama. But in the end, the grand jury is entitled to every person's evidence, and I'm quite certain they will get it.
Witnesses can refuse to answer questions by pleading the Fifth Amendment, but if for some other reason they simply refuse to answer questions, they can be thrown in jail until they cooperate or until the grand jury expires. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House, thank you. There's a new warning tonight in the West where there is a serious risk for avalanches after five people were killed in Washington State in just a week. And with more snow expected, some mountain ranges are being closed off to the public. One near-death experience was even caught on camera. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer with details now.
Screams for help following a cascading sheet of snow. Scramble to find avalanche survivors.
Whoever spotted that snowboard sticking out, good job.
Rescuers using their bare hands, digging out snowboarder Evan Huck.
Look back over my shoulder and saw about a 10-foot wall of snow barreling towards me at 60 or 70 miles an hour.
Huck was buried alive as the mountain crumbled.
So at that point, I just tried to kind of slow down my breathing and conserve air.
Five were swallowed by a wall of white at Northern California's Squaw Valley Ski Resort. Fortunately, everyone survived. But in Washington State, the mountains were deadly.
Okay, hike's over.
I'm shaking.
This avalanche, caught on camera by those lucky to get out of the way in time.
Listen up. The tracks of the people in front of us disappeared.
In just 1 week, five people have been killed in avalanches here. The state normally averages five deaths every 2 years. Police officer James Larson among the victims. Throughout the West, where whiteout conditions are still possible, the threat continues to rise as fast as the snow falls. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
From Britain tonight, we have a story of intrigue involving a former Russian spy who was part of a high-profile spy swap with the U.S. a few years ago, and now what may have been an attempt to assassinate him. NBC's Lucy Kafanov has late details.
Tonight, British authorities are trying to unravel a mystery. What unknown substance sent this former Russian spy to the hospital critically ill? Officials say the man and a woman he was with were found unconscious on a shopping mall bench on Sunday. No visible injuries.
They looked so out of it that I thought even if I did step in, I wasn't sure how I could help.
The hospital emergency room closed for decontamination.
They're currently being treated for suspected exposure to an unknown substance. Both are currently in a critical condition in intensive care.
The British press identified the man as Sergei Skripal, a 66-year-old former Russian intelligence agent convicted of high treason in Russia for working with British intelligence. He was freed in 2010 as part of a Cold War-style U.S.-Russian spy swap. Today's events drawing parallels to the poisoning of ex-KGB agent and Putin critic Alexander Litvinenko, who died after drinking tea laced with radioactive polonium, an assassination British officials say was likely approved by Putin, a charge the Kremlin denies. But tonight, in this case, police say they still don't know if a crime took place. Lucy Kafanov, NBC News, London.
Back home, a Florida teacher has been removed from the classroom after she was accused of secretly hosting a podcast that promotes white nationalist views. Her alleged double life now under investigation by the school. NBC's Stephanie Gosk with more on that and on what the teacher is now saying in her own defense.
Tonight, social studies teacher Diana Voletich is suspended from this Florida middle school after it was revealed she secretly hosted a podcast embracing white supremacist ideas.
So many other researchers have already looked into this, and that's just the way it is. There are races that have higher IQs.
First reported in the Huffington Post, 25-year-old Voletich used a pseudonym, Tiana Dolokhoff, often discussing what she sees as the failings of the education system on her podcast called Unapologetic. Meredith Blakely's daughter is in Voletich's class.
They were talking about segregation in a civil rights type of capacity, and the teacher somewhat alluded that segregation might possibly be okay.
In her podcast, Voletich says the principal asked her about sharing political bias with students.
The principal came to me and she was like, I'm not worried. Should I be worried? And I'm like, no. And she believed me and she backed off.
In a statement from her lawyer, Voletich denies being a white nationalist and promoting her political beliefs in class. Adding about her podcast, I employed political satire and exaggeration, mainly to the end of attracting listeners and followers.
Is this a freedom of speech issue?
Saying things like segregation against African Americans during the Jim Crow era was okay, that's not okay. So again, it's a public education issue.
The school district is investigating. Voletich could lose her teaching license altogether. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News.
There's a lot more ahead this evening. Still ahead, the new warnings tonight about your personal information, how hackers are now targeting tax preparers to steal Social Security numbers, and a lot more. We're back now with a new warning from the IRS. Cyber thieves are now attacking CPA firms and tax professionals, stealing sensitive taxpayer information by the thousands. Turns out many of the firms you trust may be dangerously unprepared to protect your data. NBC News national investigative correspondent Jeff Rawson has the story in tonight's Rawson Reports.
It's a treasure trove of sensitive information. Names, social security numbers, income information, and addresses, all stored here inside a CPA's computer network. Now the new target for hackers.
Criminals are targeting CPA firms because it's literally a one-stop shop for the criminals. All the information they need is housed in one location.
So now the IRS issuing multiple warnings, urging all tax preparers to be on high alert and step up security. It's so serious, CPA firms are now hiring this cybersecurity expert to hack into their systems to expose vulnerabilities.
What are you doing?
I'm about to send a phishing email and wait for them to click it.
How often do they take the bait and click it?
Almost all the time.
And when they do, the hacker has access to everything. In fact, as we're here, he gets a hit.
Wow.
A tax firm in Louisiana.
They fell for it.
we go to tell them.
Well, certainly it's a little bit of a letdown, but the cyber criminals are always moving, so you always have to be moving too, trying to keep up with them.
With what we found at your firm, are you going to go back and take a look at this?
We have a meeting this afternoon with our cybersecurity people.
We are the good guys, so no sensitive information was taken. But our expert is about to show us the scariest hack of all.
So right now we're parked in this car outside of a CPA firm here. What are you doing here?
I need to get close to the CPA firm's Wi-Fi so I could exploit an inherent vulnerability that they have.
And you're on it right now?
Yes.
You were able to break in?
I am.
And you can hit CPA firm after CPA firm and hit thousands of taxpayers at once all day?
All day.
The IRS now urging all tax firms to encrypt all sensitive client data, password protect Wi-Fi networks, and install antivirus software before brazen thieves strike again. Jeff Rawson, NBC News, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
When we come back, the moment of awe for a two-year-old girl and the famous portrait of Michelle Obama, and now this famous photograph. And the very close call after part of the roof collapses at a busy airport. Caught on camera, scary moments today at a major international airport. The video shows powerful winds blowing away part of a roof over an airport entrance in Nanchang, China. The debris falling on cars, but there are no reports of injuries. Flights were briefly suspended. The airport is reportedly operating normally again. In this country, a moment of sheer delight captured by a photographer at the National Portrait Gallery. There was two-year-old Parker Curry staring up at the new official portrait of Michelle Obama. And here's what she had to say when we asked her who she saw.
A queen.
A queen?
Yes.
Do you know her name?
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama. So you do know who the queen is?
Yes.
The photo taken by another museum visitor became an instant hit on the internet. Up next, inspiring America with an innovative idea to deal with a serious problem at school. Finally tonight, an innovative way to help kids improve their behavior in school, even when there's violence and fighting all around them. In exchange for doing the right thing, they'll get a big reward, and it's working. NBC's Rahima Ellis with tonight's Inspiring America report.
In Southwest Philadelphia, life can be rough, even in school.
It's like running hallways and fighting, cutting classes and stuff. It's just terrible.
We are very excited to be on day 80 of the
At Mitchell Elementary, the principal had a bold idea. Give each eighth grader $100 at graduation if no one fights for the whole school year. If any of the 37 students mess up, they all lose the cash.
When people say, they're just bribing these kids, what do you say?
I say, well, it's not much of a bribe. It's something to get kids motivated to do something very great for our school.
Suspensions are down, grades are up, and so is morale.
A lot of the young kids look up to me, so if I do good, they're going to do good. So, I'm really much a leader.
It's now more cool to be good than to be tough.
They are now getting that status as a peer group with peaceful problem solving. We flip the switch.
Patty Barnes sees a difference for her daughter, Zakiya.
Last year, she was fighting. I had a phone call every day. This year, nothing. I'm so proud of her this year.
Students proud of themselves and counting on each other. Money well spent. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Philadelphia.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt for all of us at NBC News. Thank you for watching and good night.